Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Tim Ellis, sitting in for Dan Bross. Heavy rains have swollen rivers around the interior and filled the channels with high water and driftwood. Because of that, boaters in the Fairbanks area are being warned to stay away from the Chena River due to a log jam that's built up across the river channel from bank to bank at the Pegger Road Bridge. KUAC's Robin reports.
Record rains at the beginning of August brought a lot of water into interior rivers. The Chena crested on Sunday night through Monday, with the gauge at Grail Landing measuring almost 9 feet, with nearly 10,000 cubic feet per second of water moving by.
A lot of the rivers are at flood stage. They're really close to the bridge, and it is not safe to go under that bridge right now.
That's Caitlin Fry with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. She says DOT closed the bike and pedestrian path under the Pegger Road Bridge, and crews are monitoring the log jam that is up against the structure.
When the water levels drop and it gets low enough that we can safely put a boat in the water right there, then our bridge maintenance crew is going to get out there in a boat and start cutting away the logs on the downstream side and let those logs loose to go downriver, and they will clear that log jam.
Fry says DOT crews in the region regularly clear log jams when they threaten bridges and roads. She says she doesn't know of a time when a log jam took up the whole river in downtown Fairbanks. Cam Leonard is the president of the Fairbanks Paddlers Club. He says experienced boaters know not to approach a log jam unless they know there's a clear channel.
Whenever there's any question about the new log jam, we pull over and do what we call scouting, but you get out of the boat and you walk over and you take a look and see if there's a safe passage. The real problem is when boaters fail to do that and they approach a log jam without knowing for sure they can get through, and that can become a life and death situation very quickly.
Leonard says one of the reasons for the Paddlers Club is to teach river safety. They want to keep inexperienced boaters out of trouble, whether they paddle or are in motorboats. Deaths on the Chena River are frequent. Nearly every year, someone drowns.
It's usually the upper Chena where people have problems, but that is the biggest risk on the river, is someone getting swept onto a log jam.
The Chena drains a watershed of 1,990 square miles. Concessionaires have closed canoe and kayak rentals on the part of the river through town. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Rainfall in recent days may also have played a role in the collapse of a tunnel wall in the Pogo mine. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports this morning that a section of a wall in a tunnel of the mine gave way on Wednesday. A spokesperson for Australia-based Northern Star Resources, which owns the mine, hasn't returned KUAC's calls yet, but told the News Miner there were no injuries and that regulatory agencies have been informed. The cave-in restricted access to an underground portal of the mine, which is located about 38 miles northeast of Delta Junction. The spokeswoman reportedly said mine officials haven't established a clear link between the recent rainfall and tunnel wall collapse, but a statement issued by Northern Star states that, quote, seasonal factors contributed, including surface water effects. As people in the interior deal with the deluge, conditions are mostly dry south of the Alaska Range, where crews continue to battle wildfires in the Mat-Su, Kenai Peninsula, and western Alaska. Calm winds Thursday helped crews working on the McKinley Fire between Willow and Talkeetna, which was 10% contained as of Thursday evening. The fire that kicked up Saturday had destroyed about 80 structures and forced some 400 people to evacuate. Meanwhile, the Caribou Lake Fire, about 25 miles northeast of Homer, had burned about 800 acres. State Division of Forestry officials say the fire is 10% contained, and they say there's no immediate threat to structures in the area. Also Thursday, authorities reopened the Sterling Highway after closing it late Wednesday so helicopters and ground crews could protect local power poles from the Swan Lake Fire. Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor Charles Pierce declared a disaster yesterday in response to the fires. That follows Mat-Su Borough Mayor Vern Halter's disaster declaration Monday in response to fires in that area. Crews and local volunteers are working on a 5,000-acre wildfire near the Bristol Bay village of Leavelock. The fire's been burning since Sunday and was about 5% contained as of Thursday morning. Things are ramping back up at the State Division of Agriculture after the legislature restored funding that Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed in June, and that amounted to more than half of the division's annual budget. And much of the restored funding survived the second Dunleavy veto pen that he wielded earlier this week. The restored programs include those for marketing Alaskan agricultural products and for conducting farm audits that allow farmers to sell their products to larger grocery chains. State Agricultural Director David Shady says that means 15 of the 17 staff positions the division lost have been reinstated, but he says some workers have decided not to return because they've found jobs elsewhere.
You know, it's never a pleasant experience going through downsizing. Of course, it's really great to have people back. I mean, it definitely is going to be a lot of work, but we're really looking forward to continuing to build ag throughout the state.
The one Dunleavy veto that the legislature did not reverse was the one that eliminated all staff for the state's Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, a program that provides low-interest loans to develop the industry. Shady says on average, 7 farmers get operating money from the fund every year, and 5 or so get loans to buy land. He says the State Board of Agriculture will meet this fall to figure out what to do about the fund, which was established when Alaska was still a territory.
The statute's still there. The fund itself is still intact. I'm sure there'll be more discussions about how and what to do as we move forward.
Shady says despite the vetoes, the seed potato inspections went ahead as usual this year, and he says delays to audits that local farmers need to sell produce to stores like Fred Meyer and Kars did not cause delay in actually getting that produce onto shelves. Jerry Huppert with Palmer Produce says there wasn't a delay for getting vegetables to the larger grocers because the program auditor was not one of the laid-off employees.
They just kind of held it up for a while. That person did go ahead and do it yesterday, so we did get the audit done and we did pass, and we maintain our records to meet those requirements. The stores are real good. They knew that we had all intentions of getting that done, and they continued to take product from us.
Shady says all the necessary audits will be completed by the end of the week, and he says the earlier suspension of the audits is not expected to cause further problems. Last year's Iditarod champion Pete Kaiser will deliver the keynote address at this year's Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, to be held at the Carlson Center here in Fairbanks from October 17th through the 19th. Kaiser is the first musher of Yupik descent to win the Iditarod, and he's a 4-time winner of the Kuskokwim 300 sled dog race. The theme of this year's AFN convention is Good Government, Alaskan Driven. AFN President Julie Kitka says in a news release the gathering's discussion this year will focus on building an Alaska that all Alaskans want to live in. For KUAC News, I'm Tim Ellis.